You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to the Always On Point podcast with Kristen Ambos here with 97.9 FM, 1590 AM at WGBW Studios with the Civic Media app. Today, we're going to get started with our interest rate update. So remember, we use the national averages on the interest rate. So you always know where to look. You can go to Mortgage News Daily. It's what I follow. It's tried and true. Today, the 30-year fixed is starting at 6.27% on the national average, 5.76% on the 15-year. One thing I want to bring up on this right now, and you guys know that I tell you this week after week, but I've seen so much of it, is where interest rates and consumers out there are being quoted 4.75, 4.5% interest rates. So that's why whenever I have a client that says, well, Kristen, can you match this rate? I send them the Mortgage News Daily rate, because it's not to Point Mortgage, my company, or any other company. It's the actual average out there. The reason why I do that is because it's important to know two things. One, if it is a rate that you're getting in the fours right now, let's just say, it's either a risky adjustable rate mortgage, which means it's not fixed for the full 30 years or 15 years. It can adjust and change. Or two, you're paying a ton of money in points for it. And that's a lot of bait and switch out there right now, especially with online lenders. If you go online and they're just going to give you a pre-approval without talking to anybody, and they're going to give you a rate quote, you're going to see those really low interest rates, but they're not going to give you the fee sheet to go with it. And so when the fee sheet comes in with it, all of a sudden you see $10,000 of closing costs, $15,000 of closing costs, and that's crazy. So remember, you're in that case buying the rate down. Whenever you're paying points, your origination points that you're paying are buying the rate down, which means you can either get a different interest rate without paying for the points, or sometimes it's a combination of both where you're paying points for the rate. But I've always said, and one of the things I do for my clients when we're looking at paying points is find that return on investment. What is your break-even point for buying that interest rate down? If it's 5, 6, 7 years, remember that an average mortgage is 5 to 7 years. People are either selling to move, refinancing, whether they're cashing out equity, or, you know, maybe they're just selling to upgrade. Maybe they're selling to downgrade. You know, they want a smaller house, larger house, different things. So even though you might be in a 15 or 30 year fixed, the average timeline of a mortgage is 5 to 7 years. So if your break even point is any more than that, you're spending more money for a lower interest rate. It's not conducive to you. It's not going to work well for you. And you're actually not benefiting yourself. It's costing you more money to do that. So with that being said, you know, I always like to start out with the rates because they are volatile right now. And the big question out there is what's going to happen in 2026? What's going to happen next week with the Federal Reserve right now is a big one, because the Federal Reserve is going to be speaking next week. And about 7 or 8 weeks ago, they had about an 87% chance of dropping rates 0.25%. Then all of a sudden, about 3 weeks ago, that went away and it dropped to about 40 to 45%, which told us they most likely were not going to lower interest rates. Well, last week came in hot, and inflationary news, jobless claims, and we are back to the 87% chance that Federal Reserve is going to drop rates next week. So it is a week by week watch that we're doing. They're anticipated to drop about 0.25%. I'm already seeing that in rates this week, which is very typical. We see investors start to go in at lower mortgage coupons, meaning that they're investing in lower rates. And then that allows people like myself, who's a mortgage loan officer, to sell a lower interest rate. So we are seeing some adjustments. The average rate right now between some of the large mortgage-backed security, you know, options that are out there. So predictions, if you will. Fannie Mae is a predictor. Mortgage-backed securities is. Mortgage News Daily is one. Freddie Mac. There's just a lot of you know, different areas within the mortgage sector that do predictions on where rates are going to be. And right now, the rates look like next year anywhere we're seeing from around 5.875 to 6.4%. That's the predictions for next year. So what does that say? I think it's going to be a really, you know, very similar year in 2026 as the last, you know, 6 months have been of 2025. So we're really excited today because we have Jill Dixon Kessler from Jill & Company at Coldwell Banker. She's going to be with us in our next segment. She's here in the studio to break it down. What does it look like for buyers? What does it look like for sellers? And what is she seeing? She is newly going to be installed as the president of RANW. So that's the Realtors Association Wisconsin. So we're really excited to see what that comes of it. She's going to be in that seat next year, and we're excited to have her. So without further ado, Jill is sitting with me here in studio today, and just really excited to have you here. Congratulations on your new role in the Realtors Association.
Thanks. Kind of scary, but exciting at the same time. So
yes.
Yeah. So I'm sitting here listening to you talk about all of these rates.
Yeah.
And I'm going, okay, I'm in real estate. I've been in it for 35 years or whatever it's been. And it's confusing to even us as realtors.
Right.
And I would tell you 90% of the realtors don't even have a sniff of, like, they don't understand rates, but they get their information from the lenders.
Yes.
Right? We specialize in the real estate side. You guys specialize in the mortgage side.
Yeah.
So when I hear you say all this stuff, it's like, holy crap, you know your stuff so well. And that's why it's so important for realtors to have a lender where if our buyer says, I don't care about all the things you just said, just break it down for me. Is it worth it? Should I pay a point? Do I pay the higher interest rate? Like, what's the best bottom line for me? Like, that's what you guys are for.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. Well, thank you. And that's what I know me personally, I try really hard to keep that research intact, and I read different trusted sources that I know are doing the background research that is far over my pay grade when it comes to what mortgage coupons are being sold this week and things like that. But yeah, having that insight so that you can best prepare the consumer without them, because there are so many predatory lenders out there right now.
Yeah.
You know, I just had a real estate agent this week say, I asked him to talk to you because they're talking to three or four different people and I can't believe how different every one of them is. Mm-hmm. So on your side as an agent, I can imagine what you guys see.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
And how do you cut through it?
The only thing that you can really do, especially when, I mean, a lot of people feel like realtors are used car salesmen, right?
Yep.
We're just going to try to sell you anything that we show you.
Right.
And I think one of the things that we always pride ourselves on is I don't want to be, I'm going to talk you out of more houses than I'm ever going to talk you into. And by the way, I don't talk you into them. I will say, yeah, this is a good option for you. Here's your comps, your resale. But I think we want to be advisors, just like you as a lender. I want you to come back to us. I want your kids to come back to us. I want to say you're selling grandma's house and how much is it worth? And I'm probably not going to get paid from that. I do a lot of work for free until I can make a commission, but it's because I want people to trust me as their advisors. And I mean, a lot of times people will probably say, you and I research a lot. We know we know the ins and outs of our industries really well, probably too.
Right, to a fault.
Yeah, because we spend a lot of time doing things that we don't get paid for, but it's because I feel that's what makes us the experts.
Right.
And that's what's different. And I think when you sit down and you have those consultations and I'm telling a buyer, if you are interviewing with me and three other agents, here, I'm going to be the president of the association. I'm not going to cut any other realtors down. I'm going to say, here's what you're looking for in an agent. Find the best fit for you.
Yes.
I might not be the right fit for everybody, but let's get you two or three people and hopefully you come back and think that we're the right advisor for you.
Right. So. I love that you put it that way because it is so true. Mm-hmm. And you know me, like, it's a double-edged sword. I've said the same thing. Shop. Mm-hmm. Shop for your mortgage rate. Of course, I don't want your business. I don't want you to shop, but the right thing for me to do is to advise you to look around a little bit. But it's so much more than the lowest interest rate or finding an agent who's the lowest commission, right? Because
and that's a whole different.
It is.
People don't even understand they have options with that anymore. I mean, so much has changed in the last. And so when we even talk about market right now, we're talking about things like inspections and home sale contingencies and all. I mean, that's a whole conversation we can get into next. But those are the things that really make a difference. And you better hope that the person who's advising you knows what the heck
they're doing.
Because
100%.
People in the last 5-6 years who've gotten in the industry have not had to deal with any of that stuff. And it's scary because, I mean, you can be homeless.
Right.
So
You're not wrong. Mm-hmm. What Jill is saying is absolutely right. It's accurate. And there's so much more than writing the offer right. And looking at the house and getting the offer accepted is exciting and a lot of hard work. There's mm-hmm. no doubt about it. But I would, and I think you'll agree, the really difficult work is done from accepted offer to closing table mm-hmm. and making sure that everything is aligned and that you're dealing with people's a lot of money, a lot of emotion.
Oh, yeah.
Where are they going to live? What are they going to do? What if something falls through? You got to be on top of all that.
Well, and the home inspections are coming back right now. And if you don't know how to deal with those, your deal can fall apart.
Yeah.
The biggest one, the hardest one right now, is a benefit for sellers right now that are for buyers that had a house to sell.
Okay.
That in the last 6 years, they couldn't make an offer. If you had a house to sell, nobody, unless you could find someone who could do a bridge loan or, mm-hmm. you know, I don't know what you call them anymore. I know some people flex that term. But now you can sometimes, but every price point is different right now. So literally depending on if you're West De Pere for 400 or if you're a different area and price point, you need to know how fast will that person's house sell? Am I going to be able to make sure that I can get them an accepted offer on something, get their house listed in 7 days? Otherwise, they can get bumped. In the meantime, are you telling them they can be bumped off of that property, go through all of this stuff, get professional photography, videos, whatever their realtor is going to do, get them up, and then day one, they can lose the house.
Right.
And then even if you get the accepted offer on your house, if your agent doesn't give notice properly and another offer comes in, you could get bumped. And that's why time is of the essence. But on top of that, if your agent didn't write the contract properly, or if they just did the standard, it says that they have to prove they're a cash offer. So an offer on their house doesn't even, depending on how it's written.
Right.
But most of the offers say that it doesn't matter if you have an offer, it has to be contingency free and proof of cash.
Well, right.
So all you have to do is strike those lines, realtors, and then you protect your buyers. But there's a whole bunch
of secrets. So many don't know that.
They do not know. So when people have a house to sell in order to buy, very important that they're looking for an experienced agent who has experience specifically with home sale contingencies, not to discredit younger and newer agents. They can do it too.
Yeah.
They just need to make sure that they have a broker, a team leader, or somebody who can walk them through the process, because that is our next generation and we need to be teaching them how to do this too.
I 1,000% agree. And I heard something the other day from a speaker, and it's so true. Real estate agents really should sell at least 100 houses before they can consider themselves an expert, because there's so many things that can go awry in those 100 houses. Mm-hmm. And with the mortgage people, they said mortgage people need to do at least 1,000 mortgages before they're considered an expert, because there's so many nuances in that. And that, again, not a discredit to the newbies out there, but if they're a newbie, gosh, I hope they're working with the right mentor. Mm-hmm. Hope they're working with somebody like you on your team, somebody where they have somebody so experienced they can ask those questions to, so they're not playing with people's livelihoods, in this, because they are legal contracts, and this can be a very litigious industry. And so that's why I always, whenever I have a client that's like, oh no, I'm good, I'm going to do it for sale by owner, I was, please.
The contracts when I started were 3 pages. They are 48, I think, is the one that we did today. Wasn't something 48
if you were pages.
Now, if you're doing it properly and you do all the disclosures, and even still then you can still get sued.
Yeah. It's crazy. It's just so much. Well, I can't wait to continue to pick your brain. There's a couple things you said I want to break down a little bit in the next segment. So stick around. Today we have Jill Dixon Kessler with Jill and Company of Coldwell Banker. She has been in the industry for, 35 years. So true, tried and true expert locally in Northeastern Wisconsin here. Stick around here on the Civic Media app, 97.9, 1590 AM, Always On Point podcast. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Hey, everyone, and welcome back to the Always On Point podcast here with Kristen Ambos from Point Mortgage, 97.9 FM, 1590 AM on the Civic Media app. And we are so excited to have Jill Dixon Kessler from the Jill & Company team over at Coldwell Banker with us today. And if you missed the last segment and you're just tuning in, she is with us. She's a 35-year veteran in the northeastern Wisconsin market. Of extremely successful real estate agent I've gotten the opportunity to work with over the course of my career many times, and just somebody I truly, truly trust in the industry. She was so kind to come on today and give us, she's going to give us some of her knowledge and share with us. She's recently just president-elect, right? Is that the right term?
Yeah, president-elect. I get installed in January for my two-year term.
So she'll be a two-year term president of the Real Estate Association of Northeastern Wisconsin, RANW. So we're so excited to have you in studio today. Thank you so much for being with us.
Pleasure.
Yeah. So we were breaking down right before the break on how important it is to work with a real estate agent who you know, who you trust, who can advise you. Mm-hmm. And like you said, it's not so much a real estate agent. You want a real estate advisor. Mm-hmm. Yes, they're licensed. Yes, you know, you can help them with all that. But having an advisor to help you really make the decisions you need to make for your, you're protecting your investment when you hire somebody who knows what they're really, truly knows what they're doing.
Yes.
This is a big deal, and it should be taken as a big deal. And I think, would you agree the last few years, they say probably from like 2000 to 2004, mm-hmm. especially, it just seemed kind of willy-nilly.
Yeah.
There weren't as many agents that were licensed that really understood, or people just weren't seeking out true advisors to help them with that.
Yeah. Well, I think what happened though is, I mean, that market.
Yes.
So crazy.
Crazy.
And I'll say this in the nicest possible way, but a lot of people think, I mean, so when I interview other agents, I interview agents all the time as the associate, like just as an agent in the market.
Okay. Love
but
that.
People will come to me and say, hey, I want to get, you know, are you hiring on your team and at the company? I'm like, no, but I'll tell you what to look for with other companies and, you know, that type of thing. But I always think it's funny when I'm like, why do you want to be a realtor? Well, you know, it just looks like you make a lot of money in commissions, and I love Zillow, and I love looking at houses, and I love watching reality, you know.
I always watch HGTV.
I was like, none of that's accurate, by the way. I mean, I've been on some of these TV shows. In fact, I have something else happening behind the scenes right now, next week. And so it's, a lot of it is not true, right?
Yeah.
So, and the like you said, what really happens, showing houses, open houses, that's the easy part. It is the contracts. It is, by the way, you know, you're selling your soul to the devil, and you don't get to work around your kid's soccer schedule, because guess what? That offer is due and you better be dropping everything to do it, or they're not going to work with you.
Right.
So there's just a lot more that goes in, but the legalities, that's the big part, is so many changes the last year. And if people don't know what they're doing, I mean, you check the wrong box in an offer, it could be a big deal for your buyer.
Okay, well, you said that. I just want to point out why she just said, if you check the wrong box. I had a closing last week. Oh,
are you
I'm sorry.
Talk about taxes?
Yes. So, taxes, you guys, this is legit. It wasn't even last week. It feels like a week ago. I had a closing last week, Monday, this past week. And the wrong box for the taxes was checked. So, just to tie it up and quick, because that wrong box was checked and it wasn't done intentionally, it was an absolute
honest mistake.
Mm-hmm. It really, really was. But it changed the buyer's final numbers by $6,000 within 2 hours of closing. Tell me that didn't change the way those buyers came to the table.
So you had it on the buyer's end?
It was on the buyer's end.
So it wasn't even my deal. I had another agent call me just looking for advice. They were panicking.
Yes.
A different agent was like, hey, I didn't realize that for my seller. Mm-hmm. They were a builder.
Yep.
And I checked this box and whatever. I didn't realize it was an $8,000 difference in the taxes.
Yes.
So that builder now, same thing, 3 days before closing goes, well, I should be paying on the land only.
Yep.
Not paying the whole year. They're only going to get a tax bill. They're only going to get a tax bill. It's December closing. The tax bill really is only for $1,500.
Right.
That buyer's going to get a credit for over $8,500.
Right.
So which pretty much pays for next year's taxes.
Yeah.
And the builder's like, well, whose mistake was that?
Who, right.
Who's paying for that?
So it's so funny that her and I are just bringing this up. You guys, neither one of us spoke about it in advance.
No.
This was a new build. And the builder was the same exact thing. The builder was like, well, wait a minute. I'll give them what is fair, but they're not making money on me.
Mm-hmm.
And the buyer went in going, but it's not my fault. I assumed I was coming in with $14,000 to close. Now I have to come in with $21,000. And again, it's a human error. Simple. The team, you know, they came together, but it was 2 hours before closing.
Hey, what happens when they don't have
over
$1,000?
Well, that's luckily our client understood and had the money mm-hmm. and was able to bring it in.
But if they didn't.
But if they didn't, now what happens?
It's breach of contract.
And now it's a disaster at the closing table an hour before. So these are legit things. Mm-hmm. That's why it's so important to understand the contract. Mm-hmm. Every single box.
Mm-hmm. Well, and even there's those three scenarios, like we always use last year's taxes.
Yep.
That is the basic of almost everybody uses that.
Yes.
But you cannot.
Very standard.
In new construction.
Right.
And there's two. Yeah. I mean, please, if you don't know the differences in some of these things, ask your broker, ask a different realtor.
Yes.
I mean, like I said, that other realtor called me asking for help after the fact, but I can't fix what was already
you
done.
You can't, right.
I think a lot of agents who are experienced should always be willing to help all the other agents around them, regardless if they're the same team, same company. I think we all work together. So it's like, if you're not sure, just ask.
It's the industry, right? Like mm-hmm. There's a lot of predatory lenders out there, but there's a lot of really good loan officers mm-hmm. too. And I want to help mm-hmm. however I can
yeah.
because it just helps us all.
It does.
You know, it helps the whole industry. And we want to be known for people who are helping and wanting to do the job right. And it's the few that don't, which give all the rest of us the used car salesman
yeah.
tactic
80%,
name.
Don't you know the 80-20 rule?
Right? Yes.
80% of the business is done by 20% of the agents.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Same in mortgage.
Yep.
Same.
Yep.
So,
but the whole goal is that we lift everybody up and make everybody, like, we want everyone in our industry to be professionals.
Right. And if you want to make it in this industry, you absolutely can. Ask the questions.
Yeah.
Even if you've been in the industry for 8 or 9 years, ask the question, because the rest of us who've been in 20 years know that 20 years in, you're still
I'm asking questions all the time.
I'm
still bouncing stuff off of my team. Like,
yes.
Did I miss something? I did it really fast. But,
yes.
You know, can you just review it and make sure? And sometimes I still make mistakes.
Yep, absolutely. So we're going to come back in just a moment. Stick with us here at 97.9, 1590 AM, Civic Media app with the Always On Point podcast. See you in a moment. I'll sing it to you. Welcome back to the Always On Point podcast here with 97.9 FM, 1590 AM, WGBW with the Civic Media app. Today we are here with Jill Dixon Kessler from Jill & Company with Coldwell Banker. She is a longtime real estate agent, even though she does not look like she's been in the business for 35 years. She has been. She started very young, and she's a plethora of knowledge sharing it with us today. So thank you so much for being here with us.
You're welcome. Does that mean the Botox is working?
Botox is on point.
Yeah.
No pun intended, or pun intended, I should say, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking a lot today. We talk a lot about just the industry in general, but we're going to zero in a little bit on Northeastern Wisconsin right now, because I want to pick Jill's brain on where the market has shifted here at the end of 2025 and where she foresees it being in 2026, because there are a lot of people that are interested in getting in the market. We've talked on this show about timing the market and waiting for that lowest interest rate or waiting for home prices to come down. And you all know that timing the market, if you've listened to me, if you're brand new to the show, you know that timing the market doesn't typically fare well. And because if you're waiting for the lowest interest rate, that just drives prices up. Lower rates drive prices up because of the demand. Remember, we went about 13 years with a very low inventory of new build, mm-hmm. which changed the inventory trajectory nationwide, really, but also in Northeastern Wisconsin. And so we're still, you know, the inventory is still an issue. However, right now, since the market is, we've just kind of said, slowed down a little bit, there's a lot of opportunity for buyers out there right now.
Yeah.
So tell us what you're seeing, Jill.
So I think the confusing part is that you see everything, and we all talk about the national inventory crisis
yes.
for real estate. So everybody thinks that there isn't, but then they're going, why isn't my house selling? I've been on the market now for 90 days and everything used to get an offer, 5 offers in the first day.
Right.
So if you look at the history of real estate in the last 40 years, the typical real estate market it'll be slow through, you know, December, January, start picking up in a little bit in February, but most likely the majority of sales happen in March, April, and May.
Yep.
People get confused because if you look at real estate stats, the stats show closings being June and July.
Right.
But that's the sale. Everything happens 60 days previous for the offers.
I was going to say, you're writing offers a lot March, April, May. They're closing in May, June, July.
Correct. So then you get into June, things start to slow down. Kids are out of school. There's holidays, cottages, weddings. And then by July, really slows down. August is pretty much second to December.
Yeah.
And then it picks back up September, October, and then dies, you know, right after Thanksgiving, early December.
Yeah.
That's the typical real estate market when people are looking at it. But this year, threw a complete wrench in that. I mean, I think it never really came back after August. So
I was going to say, it seemed like it was different up until July, and then August came around, and then it was just entirely a different market.
Well, we have a lot of things going on right now. One, you have people who don't know how to read the real estate market for prices. They're looking at last year's prices for comps, and we're not that market anymore.
Right. 100%.
So, two, we have more inventory than we've ever had. So now you have to be more aggressive. Those price points don't work all the time.
Yep.
Average market time used to be less than 45 days list to sale. I mean, you're moved out, right?
Wait, from the moment you listed
list your house
the house
to the day
to
you were
out.
Moved out was between 48 and 52 days.
That's not a lot of time.
No. Before that, before when we hit like we were talking 6-7 years ago,
yep.
It'd be a lot longer. But now we're going back to 90, 120, 140 days on the market before you get an offer. So if you're not pricing right, I mean, every area, every price point is different. So you need to know how to price. But yeah, there's more inventory than people have had the opportunity for in a long time. But it's the affordable housing, that $250, $300. I mean, if we can get some developers out there that can start building some of those townhomes and things that are more affordable, that's what we're looking for. It's the higher stuff that's starting to take longer.
Yes. And we've talked about it on the show, and I'm an avid believer that it's going to have to come from the developing side. Mm-hmm. There's going to have to be either tax breaks on the developing side or something where the government comes in and does help the builders, because if we can make it more affordable for them and not so much red tape on building, that's going to bring inventory and hopefully more affordable inventory for people to come in.
Well, you need the ones for the first time home buyers. Those are the ones who are really have the issues because they don't have the down payment and they have lower income. Two, you have the people who are stepping out of the market. We need grandma and grandpa to move so that people can buy those houses in those school districts that they've been living in Ashwaubenon for 35 years.
Yes.
People want to move into those properties. And then, but they have nowhere to go. They can sell for $500, but they can only afford $250 because they don't have any more income.
Right.
So they need to get in. So we need lower income condos. So there's a lot of things going on.
There's a lot of things going on. And I feel like I see some really good new developing happening and talks of it from our local home builders association and things like that. So I'm really hopeful that comes in the next couple of years. I guess we'll see what's going on. Like, for instance, there's finally those condos out in Suamico that right by Rustique. This is a shout out to our friends, Joe and Katie, who own Rustique. But right next door to Rustique is there. That plot has been there for probably 20 years and it hasn't been developed. And now they put them up.
Yep.
So that gave me excitement. So I was like, okay, now there's some developments that we've been waiting a long time for popping up and starting to be built.
Yeah, and those are going pretty quickly because they're affordable.
Yep.
So there are private entrances. People around here also get confused about condos. Condos can be single family with an HOA. Condos can be a townhome. It can be an apartment flat. It can be half of a duplex. So.
Yes. We're that little city that's trying to learn how to be big and bring some of those big city, residences to us. So that's exciting. So now on a seller side, because we have sellers that listen to this as well.
Mm-hmm.
On a seller side, how am I one of those that's going to close in 45 to 90 days?
Well,
what do I have to do as a seller?
Some of them, doesn't matter what you do, you're not.
Okay.
Right? So if you are, sometimes we call it like functional obsolescence and whatever, like houses that are just really unique.
Sure.
Those are going to take the right buyer, right time. You might get lucky with the right person, but those will just generally have longer time frames.
Like maybe something with like a horse, where they have horse stables or...
That or like, I had one where it was the property, the two bedrooms are upstairs. Upstairs, and you drive under, and it's the garage, and there's only one bedroom in the main, but the living room, kitchen, everything is upstairs.
Oh, so stairs, so people don't always want stairs.
But yeah, so if you have kids, if you have one bedroom in the basement or on that main level, if you have kids, are you putting your kid where your garage is?
Yeah.
And are you going up?
Your teenage kid, probably.
Right? So those things are, will play in a strategy, but it's your realtor who really needs to tell you, because like I said, area to area, price point, street to street will differ. So you need to know what strategy. If you're going to price high, you're not going to sell fast. Typically.
I was just going to say, so if you can, talk a little bit about pricing right now, because you had just said a little bit ago, this market is different than it was 6 months ago. So if I'm a seller and, I'm thinking I'm going to get last year's prices, I'm probably rudely,
Well, it depends, because when I do a market analysis on a property, I wish I brought one in because I literally have one in my car. It's this thick and it's basically like all the comps. I don't just type it into a computer system and spit out like a report.
Yes. Yeah, so for you who are listening and aren't watching, the this thick sheet did a visual with, it's like an inch thick on documents.
Yes. And I literally, like last night I spent an hour and a half and I wrote through like how long that property was on the market and what the price was originally that they started. And half of these houses in this $800,000 price point in East Appear right now.
Yep.
Dropped almost $100,000 from their list prices by the time they sold.
Wow.
People aren't realizing that. So
no.
That's one of two things that agent advised, or this, not always the agent. The agent might have advised them and they said, well, I don't care. All everybody else around me is sold at this price point.
Yep.
Okay, I'll try it and we can see, but don't be disappointed if it doesn't sell.
Yep. So don't be mad when I have to come back to as your agent and tell you we got to lower the price.
Yeah. And and that's okay. Sometimes as long as we're prepared and we tell people, the other part is sometimes the agent doesn't know and they're looking at that last year's comp. So when I do a market analysis, I give you three price points. I give you a low, a median, and a high.
Okay.
The high is best case scenario, best market, best timing.
Sure.
You got everything going for you, you're going to be here. The median's like, hey, according to the comps, you're probably going to end up here. So however we want it, what strategy are we going to use to get there? And the low is you're going to go like, hey, you want a list right now, December. So December's pretty slow.
December's slow. And I want to go back to that because people don't think about our industry being seasonal, but it really is. And I agree with the timeline you gave. Like, that's exactly it. And I already have clients. This year is different on the mortgage side where I've got clients right now, more than I have in years, saying, Kristen, can I come in and meet, get my pre-approval and everything ready because my lease comes due in June of next year. Mm-hmm. And I want to make sure my credit's right. And I want to make sure, which that's the part of the internet I love because it's educating these, you know, I shouldn't say kids, but these young adults.
Yep.
Into making sure they're prepared.
All right.
Versus what we've been through in the last 5 years where it's like, oh, I found a house. I really want to go look at it, but my real estate agent said I need a pre-approval. Can you get that done in the next 10 minutes?
And it's Saturday at 2 o'clock and you're like, oh,
right.
Don't worry. I don't have a life.
You right. And Jill and I would look at each other and say we don't have lives because
we would drop it and do it.
We would drop everything and get it done. And we have, her and I have before on weekends and nights and things like that. So, but it is cool to be able to see that people are starting to try to be prepared
a
little more in advance. Are you seeing that between buyers and sellers?
For sure. And for the last several years, I think a lot of people stepped away. Like most realtors should be doing a buyer consultation with their buyers to tell them what to do in the process. Are you prepared?
Yes.
Do you have a lender? All those type of things. That market moves so fast, they weren't doing it.
Right.
Now we're going back to that. But what I think is interesting is I've had several buyers say, well, I don't want to get pre-approved because I am not buying till June.
Yep.
And we always go back to, and they're like, I don't want it to affect my credit score or it's going to expire.
Yeah, right.
It might, but don't you want to be prepared? And once you guys have, and correct me if I'm wrong, but once you have everything but a blood sample, and really they do, you want everything but a blood sample.
That's why this housing market, don't listen to the media, it's not crashing.
Yeah.
Because we still take so much documentation on the mortgage side, it's crazy. So
like last year's taxes and your W-2s and all that. So all that, you can at least get the pre-approval and then all you have to do is update it. But even if we have an expired one, when we write an offer, we can say at least they worked with Kristen or they have a pre-approval from whatever other bank. Great, we'll submit it with the offer. I can't get a hold of that lender.
Right.
That lender doesn't work the weekend. But we can prove that they already had one.
Yes.
And then we'll get an updated one. Or at least I know I'm not spinning my wheels and you guys have been prepared. Because if they don't even know what the price is, what their payment is, I mean, we're...
You're 100% accurate. And I wanna go back on that because what she said, yes, we pull a credit. And I just want to go on that quick because so many people think, oh my gosh, if I pull a credit, my score is going to drop 100 points. You guys, that is not accurate. When you pull a mortgage credit report, so we do a mortgage, and it is a tri-merge, it's all three bureaus, TransUnion, Equifax, Experian. If you pull it, it is not going to hurt you because the mortgage or the credit bureaus know that mortgage lenders cannot do a pre-approval without it. So unless you're pulling a credit and then maxing out a credit card and buying a car loan and everything in the same day, that's where the credit score drops. It's an old myth. Mm-hmm. These days, you can pull credit even in advance. You can do your loan. And let's say it does expire. Mm-hmm. We pull another one. Your score is not going to drop because you haven't done anything. You haven't. Yes, there's an inquiry hit. But again, in a mortgage world, you could have even 3 to 4 mortgage people in 30 days pull your credit and your score will not drop. Mm-hmm. That's a protection on the mortgage side of things. And the reason why the bureaus know that is because when we pull the credit, you'll see an M. It's categorized. Hmm. So we're an M for mortgage.
Okay.
Then if it's like a car loan, It'll have an I for installment, mm-hmm. and credit cards are an R for revolving.
Okay.
So that's how the bureaus know what type you're pulling.
Got it.
And so it's not just willy-nilly, but yes, if you had your credit pulled and you did 12 inquiries between mortgage, installment, and credit cards all in 1 month, you're probably going to see a reduction in your score.
Right.
Don't do that. But
don't buy a car also in the middle of your transaction, please.
We closed one on Friday, and on Thursday we found out there was a new car loan. Not even joking. Jill's jaw picking up off the floor. No matter how many times we say this, you guys. And my processor, like legitimately, the debt to income ratio is 49.1%. Yeah, that's really high. We were able to get it approved. Thank the good Lord above. But had she not, she'd be living in her car today.
Oh my gosh.
So that's so important. So even Jill brings it up. We joke about it, but it's still alive and true. It's crazy.
Well, even... I mean, I've had one, and this goes back like 25 years. One, I had a transaction once, same thing, we don't buy anything. They went to like an Ashley Furniture, you know, furniture store and bought like $15,000 in furniture. But it's
and then
okay.
financed it.
And financed it, but it was okay because they didn't spend the money. They financed it, right?
Yes,
so it's okay.
At 0% interest.
Well, so they had a lower debt to income ratio. They ended up not being able to get the house.
Oh,
now
my gosh.
Now they have all the furniture being delivered to a house that they're not going
to get. They're not going to have that. Living in the car. So let's touch back on that when we come back here at 97.9 FM, 1590 AM with Jill Dixon here on the Always On Point podcast.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
This is Kristen Ambos here with the Always On Point podcast, partnered with 97.9 FM, 1590 AM on the Civic Media app. You can always find us on all the podcast platforms too. Spotify, Apple Podcast, YouTube. Go over to my Instagram page. Would love to have you guys follow if you're looking for more mortgage information. And if you're just looking to get more educated on it, that's my why. Is educating on mortgage. I want my consumers, I want my borrowers to know and understand when they're going into this process, what exactly their mortgage is. Now, I don't expect that they can be able to go to a family dinner and recite and educate somebody else, but you know, there's a lot to do with this. And if you've heard me say it before, mortgages are as clear as mud. They really are. There's not a ton of common sense to them. But my goal is always to make sure when you walk away from the table, you feel like you made the best decision that you could with the information that you had and that we educated you with. Because this really is home buying in general or selling, whatever you're doing in the housing industry is a huge investment. And I want to make sure you wouldn't go to a willy-nilly financial advisor with all your money. Don't go to a willy-nilly real estate agent or mortgage person either. There's so much that goes into that. Work with a team, research it, interview. I love the way you said it before. I like interviewing more than shopping.
That's right. Yeah.
So stop shopping around. Interview because it's so important. One, that they're educating you on what you're going to do. Two, that you have a really good click. You have a camaraderie about you, that you know that you can trust these people because this is the team of people you hire to get the job done for you. Mm-hmm. And you want to make sure that you're hiring the right team on your behalf. So really spend some time in it, thinking about it, learning about it. So we have Jill Dixon Kessler with us today from Jill & Company at Coldwell Banker. Jill is also the incoming president of the RANW, which is the Realtors Association in the state of Wisconsin. So we are picking her brain about all of this. We just got done talking about how one of the cardinal sins, one of many, is do not buy a vehicle, do not buy furniture, if you need $20,000 to close and you've got $50,000 cash in the bank and you want to go buy furniture with your cash, more power to you. Go do it. What I should say is don't finance anything. Don't spend your down payment money and don't finance anything because that really could make or break you getting this loan or not getting this loan.
Well, and I don't think it's even that you can't do it. It's please don't do it without asking.
Better put, right? You're 100% right.
Because
there
car.
Are some
okay.
people, yep, there are some people out there who have all the debt to income ratio space in the world and mm-hmm. that have reserves and are very financially responsible, can do that. There are others who, I don't want to say you're not financially responsible, but your debt to income ratio is a little bit tighter. Your budgeting is a little bit tighter, mm-hmm. you know, and those things happen. It doesn't mean that you're not financially responsible or you can't buy a house, but we want to make sure that you're not jeopardizing the move that you're making into buying that house so that you can get the financing that you need for that. So, and that again goes with great communication between not only you and your lender, you and your real estate agent, but also your real estate agent and your lender. Mm-hmm. Your team of people have to be communicative. Communicate, over communicate everything. I love it when a client is like, hey, Kristen, can I, you know, it's Christmas. Do you mind if I go shopping for my daughter this weekend and, you know, get her Christmas present? Like, yes, absolutely. You have more than enough money. Go do it. But if they didn't, and I don't mean ask me like for permission,
right. but oh my God, let's your phone would blow up all the time.
Yes. But let's talk about it to make sure you're not jeopardizing your situation only during that time that you are in contract and in financing.
But don't you think, I mean, maybe you already do this too. I think you probably know the yeah. people who are more at risk.
Yes.
So I think there's some people you probably don't have to have this conversation with and
right.
other people where you're like, this is going to be tight no matter what. Look at me when I'm talking.
Yes.
You do not do
yes.
anything without talking to us,
yes.
right? Versus other people you're like, I don't even need to, you're good.
That whole, listen to me, Linda,
yeah.
that little guy,
yeah.
listen to me, please, please, please listen to me. And, you know, we run into it all the time. And that's a cardinal sin from, I mean, Jill's been in the business 35 years. I've gone on 25 years and we still deal with it. I just dealt with it this week. Mm-hmm. Just have that open, honest communication. Don't try to pull one over on your lender because they're going to find out. We have alerts. We have to have alerts. The regulations show that we have to have alerts on your credit bureaus. So the second you even apply for new credit during your loan process till your loan is funded at the closing table, we're going to know about it. So just call us first.
Mm-hmm.
Don't have us make that weird phone call to you to be like, hey, yeah, so you had this alert on your credit. What's going on? So, but outside of that, really just, you know, finishing picking Jill's brain about what's going on in the market. What do you foresee 2026 to look like for all of our listeners out there right now who are thinking about getting in? And is 2026 my year to buy?
Well, I think like you've mentioned, try not to wait because
yeah.
as like you said, prices have continued gone up. New construction prices continue to go up. That little bit of a difference in interest rate, holding out for that, not going to make up the difference. And you can always, what is it?
Date the rate.
And yeah.
Yeah. Date the rate, marry the house. And what she's saying there, you guys, listen, for the people who 2 years ago said, I'm going to wait for rates to come down, are now probably spending 10 to 12% more
on
the price of the house
mm-hmm.
because we're still appreciating.
Yep.
So
and you could have just refinanced.
Yep. Absolutely.
Yep.
And gotten the lower rate.
So I think I kind of surprised how slow it has been the last couple of months. I mean, it's still a good market, but it's
yes.
just a lot slower. Things are taking a lot longer. I do kind of anticipate that come spring, we are going to get our normal influx of
yep.
inventory, which usually happens probably
yep.
in that February, March, April market. So what you'll find is more inventory comes up, which is great for everybody. And then more buyers come out too.
Yes.
So that competition for that. So those certain areas and price points will start coming out as well.
So if I'm a buyer right now, I want to get my ducks in a row. And if I'm looking to buy sooner than later, it's probably the right time because there's
yeah.
more inventory.
Well,
this is a really good time.
Not right now. There's
yeah.
not a lot of inventory now. That
okay.
will be coming up in the next probably
in the
two
next
to
couple.
Yeah. January, February, there'll be more coming. So, but I'd start looking now because.
So get prepared.
Yeah. I mean, start looking now. What the heck? If you
yeah.
can look at 10 houses and then by the time something comes around, otherwise, if you find the first house you like,
yes.
are you ready to write an offer?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, we can't thank you enough. Thanks for filling us in, Jill, so much and for being here. We're going to have all of Jill's contact information in our description below. So reach out to her if you have any questions on buying or selling. She's your girl. Definitely reach out. Her and her team are amazing and will help you. Thank you so much to 97.9 FM, 1590 AM. Sorry for that. The Always On Point podcast with Kristen Ambos. We'll see you next week.
The national news cycle never stops. but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.